This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on December 17, 2013. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
Is it my turn now? Traditionally, also, the chair gets to make a few remarks. Thank you.
Copy
of a nice letter about the donation, which I really, really do appreciate. This has been a challenging year to try and lead any government agency, but certainly this one. We were down a commissioner for the better part of the year. We lost our general counsel halfway through the year. We had to deal with sequester funding and then a government shutdown. It's been a challenge to try and move the agency forward under those circumstances. I was pleased that the entire commission was unanimous in setting the priority that, despite sequester funding, that we were really going to try to avoid furloughing our staff, who work so hard and are so dedicated to the mission of this agency. And because of that shared commitment, we managed to, you know, scrimp and save everywhere else in the budget, and we managed to avoid furloughing anybody in FY 2013, only to be hit by the shutdown immediately in 2014. Unfortunately, the way that we managed to avoid furloughing anybody was we stopped backfilling positions. So we've been operating at a lower staffing level than I certainly think is optimal. There's a lot of important positions that have gone unfilled, and a lot of staff, really all the staff, have stepped up to the plate and done a really extraordinary job that I appreciate every single day. I mean, when people, I appreciate the nice words that my colleagues said to me, but really I didn't do anything. It's the staff that really keeps this agency running, and I appreciate their efforts and their dedication every single day. It is certainly true that being the chair of this agency is a thankless task. You get a lot of administrative hassles. I was laughing with the vice chairman yesterday about trying to set the schedule, just trying to set the calendar for the agency and figuring out, you know, coordinating six people's calendars and when people were going to be ready to meet. And that's the kind of glamorous task that you get when you're chairman. And I have to say, I'm not really sorry to be handing over the administrative role. I'm hopeful that maybe next year I can focus more on thinking more deeply about some of the important issues that are in front of us, and maybe doing some more writing and tweeting about what's going on around here. You know, when they give you the gavel, it's an honor and a privilege to be chair of the FEC, but it's not a terribly powerful position because they don't give you any extra votes along with the gavel, and you still need four votes to get anything done. One idea that I had earlier this year that didn't really catch fire around here, but I'm going to just kind of throw it out on the waters, and maybe someday we'll come back to it. We have on a number of occasions in the last number of years held hearings that focused on our enforcement process, and I started it. I held the first one the last time I was chair, and we've done it several times since then, and have adopted various changes to our procedures as a result. I think that it would be really beneficial for us to hold that kind of sort of a global hearing focusing on our regulations. I think it would be useful for all of us to sit in a room together and hear from people with diverse views. Some of it would be predictable. You know, I'm sure that we would get a certain number of folks that we could all predict right now who would come in and say we need less regulation, and a certain number of folks that we could all predict right now who would say we need more regulation. But what I envisioned was something where we would do some outreach and try and bring in people beyond the Beltway, beyond the usual 12 election lawyers in D.C., God love them, who comment on anything of substance that we do, try and hear from some people out in the country about how our regulations, you know, focusing on our regulations, not the law or the court decisions that other folks have had any number of conferences about, but focus on our regulations and how they impact the political process, how they affect the way people do their jobs and try and express their political views and exercise their franchise, and whether they feel well-informed, whether they feel like they have the kind of information that they need to be the kind of informed electorate that the Supreme Court has stated is so important to our democracy. And one of the reasons why I think this would be really useful is that we tend in, you know, and I mean we in a very broad sense, we tend to live in our own information bubbles where we get news from sources that are congenial to us, and we talk to people who agree with us, and you know, yes, we all have friends out there in the community who are active in politics and we hear from them, but I think it would be useful for all of us to sit in a room, particularly because we have a diversity of ideological views, and hear from people across the spectrum that will challenge us and maybe help to inform future regulatory projects or perhaps future legislative recommendations, and or perhaps, you know, future litigation. One thing that was striking to me when I first read the Citizens United decision was that the perspectives and the premises of the majority were so very, very different from those of the dissent. I mean, they just seemed to come at these issues from, you know, from Mars and from Venus. And there wasn't a lot of factual record in that case. So it was really, you had justices of the Supreme Court who were operating based on really what seemed like gut reactions about how politics works. And I think we could perform a useful function in trying to collect some more hard information about what really happens out there when people are involved in politics and when they're making decisions about it. So I throw that out there because I think it would be a useful thing for the agency to do, and I don't think it really matters who's holding the gavel when we, if we were to convene such a hearing. So that's my little soapbox piece. I also, of course, want to thank all of my colleagues. I tried hard to move particularly our enforcement agenda. I think sometimes people thought I was a little bit overly ambitious about that, but we did make a solid dent in it, and we will continue to work on that because when this meeting closes, we're going to, you know, launch into our last executive session of the year, and I'm not letting them out of the building until we make some more decisions. But to go back to a theme that I've mentioned before, really the most important asset, the most important resource that we have here is the staff. And back when I was first chair, I had a little ceremony at the end of my final session where I recognized various staff, people who had really stepped up to the plate and put in extra effort. And then a few years later, we started doing formal employee recognition ceremonies. We didn't do that this year because of the sequester. But I think that really is unfair to the staff to not allow them the opportunity to be recognized for their efforts. So I'm going to, I asked all of our senior managers to make recommendations, and really the list was too long and we had to pare it down. So please don't be offended if your name's not on the list. It doesn't mean that we don't think highly of you. I really appreciate each and every one of you. The people whose names I read will get this very spiffy certificate, Chair Weintraub's Going the Extra Mile Award, in recognition of your performance during the past year and your contributions to the effective and efficient operation of the Federal Election Commission during my tenure as chair. I am presenting these special recognition awards for achievement in thanks for your efforts in furthering the important mission of this agency. And I just can't say enough about how impressed I am by how dedicated the staff are, despite not having gotten a COLA in years and dealing with things like the threat of furloughs and being sent home, you know, without a paycheck and not knowing whether they were going to be paid during the shutdown. The dedication that the staff of this agency have to the mission of this agency is really critical to our being able to get anything done. So I would just like to describe a few of the many people who have done really exceptional work this year, particularly stepping up to the plate at a time when we are understaffed. We had in the last couple of years, in fiscal year 2011, 2012, we received 361 complaints, which I don't know if it's a record setter, but it is certainly tops the 294 that we received in 2009, 2010, and the 318 that we received in 2007, 2008. That's a lot of work to process. And on the other side, of course, the volume of information that gets filed here has really ballooned in the last couple of years. And we've been receiving that information with fewer staff to review the reports and to help people out. That's why it's just so important that we have the staff that we do to do that work, to look at the information that gets filed, to make sure it gets posted to the website so the public has access to it, to help the public and the members of the regulated community so they can comply with the law, to audit and analyze and make recommendations to us about enforcement issues, and to give us their very best judgment, telling us what we need to know and not necessarily what we want to hear. It's really critical that we have staff to do that. So a few of the many people who really excelled in that mission were, I will start in OGC, Kate Higginbotham, who stepped up to be our acting assistant general counsel for admin law. We had a huge volume of FOIA requests and congressional document requests this year, and Kate really took over that process. It's a very sensitive process, collecting information, working with people throughout the building. She's got an incredible attitude, positive, good-natured approach to her work and her colleagues, and incredibly efficient, and we really appreciate her doing this. Recently, we received a request from a member of Congress, and he asked for it on a certain deadline, and he got it on that deadline, and apparently said, wow, I really wasn't expecting that you were going to be able to do that. But we were, and that's thanks to Kate. In our policy division, Jessica Selenkoff enmeshed herself in technical issues. She worked on our technological rulemaking project, which I hope is still going to make progress in the next year, as well as the ever-controversial Bitcoin's AO request, and throwing herself into these high-tech issues that are really not part of the normal wheelhouse of an FEC attorney, and really went above and beyond, and we thank her for that. Now, here's a particular favorite for me, who I really think deserves recommendation, is Tony Bell. Tony Bell is the guy who is often the last person here when commissioners are delaying and debating and trying to figure out exactly what words they want to put on paper. At the end of the day, we come up with a document, we put it, and we say, make it blue. And Tony's the guy who gets stuck staying late without complaint to work with the secretary's office, the info division, the disclosure division, to make sure that those documents do go blue and, more importantly, are made public so that people have access to them and can comment on them and can get important information to us about that'll help us make our decisions. So it's usually an unheralded role, but thank you, Tony. We really appreciate you. Theo Lutz in our policy division has... It's not clear whether he's volunteered or been volunteered three times to be a special assistant to the general counsel and the deputy general counsels to help them manage the entire work of the Office of General Counsel. He has strong writing and analytical skills, and again, a person of great good cheer. And we always appreciate seeing your smiling face and appreciate all the efforts that you've put in to help us make us a better and more efficient place. Still in OGC, Margaret Foreman in our Compliance, Advice, and Ethics division has done a really great job, both with her substantive work, but also in thinking about how we can better do our job, recommending new submission procedures for our request for legal consideration, and working with a variety of different offices throughout the building, designing and implementing a new commission webpage that shows the commission's prior decisions on these requests and explains how to submit a request. So thank you for being proactive and thinking about how we can better do our job and helping us to do it. Lee Evans, who is one of our newer attorneys in enforcement, and unfortunately is homesick today. So someone will have to tell him that I said nice things about him. He really is another person who hit the ground running, has been a tremendous asset, worked on several very complex and sensitive high-profile matters, which, of course, since they were in enforcement, I can't describe, at least not at this time. He's demonstrated outstanding writing, negotiation, and advocacy skills, and has done really great work in his first year and a half with the commission, and we look forward to his future here. And if you really want to make Lee happy, ask him to show you a picture of Oliver, his very adorable little boy. He will be happy to do that. Going from more junior to a more senior person, Mark Allen is one of our most seasoned attorneys in enforcement, and also this year has been one of our most productive. And because of his great experience, he's been one of the go-to people in OGC when we have difficult and complex and sensitive matters, and really has been helpful in moving some of those matters forward. Thank you, Mark. We really appreciate your efforts. Another new lawyer in our litigation division, Charles Kitcher, again, has come in here and done great work, very skillful advocate. In August, when everybody was on summer vacation and we got an unexpected court order, Charles dug in and on a brief that he hadn't even worked on before and turned it around in a couple of days. Also worked with the Solicitor General's office to prep for the McCutcheon case, and really has done outstanding work this year. We appreciate it. And finally, in OGC, we want to salute the departing Al Veldhuizen. Colonel Al has been with the Commission since 1999 and also has served in the Army Reserves, and now is leaving us to take a full-time position as Chief of Administrative Law at the Fort Belvoir Military Installation. So we salute you, Al, and wish you Godspeed and good luck in your new job. In the office of our Chief Financial Officer, Vito Pietanza and Sam Stewart have both done really yeoman's work in our procurement efforts this year and have stepped in again when we were short-staffed and made it possible for us to buy things and to enter into contracts, which is really one of those critical backroom functions that nobody ever thinks about. But if you don't have good people doing those jobs, you really can't get it done. We had a backlog, and they really worked hard to reduce that, and we appreciate all of their efforts. Thank you both. On the staff director's side, as I said, we're low on staff, and that means that we have to keep moving people around. And one of the people who is always willing to take on new responsibilities and let us move her to new places and take over new divisions is Dana Brown, who recently took over as our interim head of HR. And we know she's been working overtime to try and address these issues and keep that office running, which is so important to all the employees who work here. And thank you, Dana, for once again stepping up to the plate. Christian Hillard in our press office gets up really, really early every morning so that, you know, we can get first view of what all you guys in the press are saying about us early in the day so we can start our day off right, and has worked very hard this year particularly to help to redesign the press office webpage so that it's more user-friendly for the press and for the public who want to see what we've been doing. So thank you, Christian. And then I have a couple of teams that I have to recognize. The shutdown has been mentioned several times, and there were a number of people that really did put in many extra hours, including at times when they didn't even know if they were going to get paid, to help us shut down the agency and then bring it back up again, and particularly with a complex IT environment that is... That is quite a challenge. There's a lot of work that goes on there. And Commissioner Peterson mentioned it, but really it had nothing to do with me. That was all due to our good staff. And, you know, I meant to mention earlier, we are at the, speaking of IT, we are coming to the end of a multi-year project to improve our IT infrastructure. Again, one of the problems with sequester funding is that we never have enough money to put as much resources into things on a yearly basis as we would like to. And since we don't want to shortchange our staff, we often steal the money out of IT tea when we're running short, and then we give it back to them at the end of the year if we have any extra. So that makes planning a little bit more challenging. But we have been working on this project for a number of years now, and by next year we will start to see the fruits of those efforts in improved search functionality, for example, which is something that I know everybody who deals with this agency is really going to appreciate. So I'll just put in a plug for that. Look for that coming next year. We'll be really happy to finally be seeing the outcome of that after working on that development for many years. But going back to what I was saying about the staff, and this isn't exclusively at IT Group, although it's a lot of them are from IT. The government shutdown response team, the folks who really put in those extra efforts to make sure that we were able to have an orderly shutdown and then come back to life again at the end of the process in a relatively timely fashion. And as I said, came in, worked extra hours, didn't know if they were going to even get paid for it. So I want to really, really thank India Robinson, Estev Mead, Wenchun Jan, Jun Lee, Jim Allen, Wei Lu, Paul Clark, Jeff Chumley, Rohan Jaya Sakara, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, Gashaw Mengistu, Pat Fongsvirashati, Scott Wang, and Larry Calvert. Somebody who is like one of our go-to guys in any emergency. We always need legal advice from Larry. Thank you all. I know how hard you guys worked. It was really very much appreciated. And finally, you know, we've been talking about, this is another theme that comes up over and over again. This year, because of the sequester and our not backfilling, our RAD division was down to about 75% strength at this point. We really have far fewer analysts than we really need to do our job properly. And yet, RAD still managed to review over 15 million pages of reports for the 2012 cycle, which was a 6.8 million increase over 2010. I mean, think about those numbers, 15 million pages. For anybody out there that files reports here, if you think, you know, what am I doing this for? Is anybody going to care? Is anybody going to look at it? Yes, the answer is we do have people who look at it and make sure that we get it right, and they're available to answer questions and help people get it right. So I am actually going to list all of our line RAD analysts who really all deserve a special commendation for their yeoman efforts this year to review all of that massive amount of information so that the public can be informed as it has a right to be. So thank you to Laura Beaufort, Carolina Monjan, Tyler Culberson, Vicki Davis, Ryan Furman, Ben Holly, Chris Jones, Robin Kelly, Brad Matheson, Jill Sugarman, Chris Wyrick, Maureen Bennett, David Butler, Caitlin Eager, Kevin Forkowitz, Brian Jones, Sarah Juris, Rosa Lewis, Nicole Miller, Chris Morse, Ed Ryan, Laura Sinram, Paul Stotzer, Armin Tarzi, and Kui Vong. And these are just a few of the many really great people who make it a pleasure to come to work every day. So thank you all, every single one of you, every person in the building. Anybody whose name was mentioned, please stand up and get a round of applause. Will get a nifty certificate from your chair while I'm still chair. Recognizing the staff is really the very last thing that I would like to do as chair of this agency, and I look forward to working with you all again from the other side of the table. If they're out, Mr. Staff Director, do we have any management or administrative matters that we need to address?
Madam Chair, not that I'm aware of.
Well, if you don't know, who does? With that, the final meeting of the Federal Election Commission open meeting for 2013 will come to a close, and I wish you all a very, very happy holiday season with your loved ones. This meeting is adjourned.